Welcome to the Divine Council, the Lestrals podcast. Well, I am one of your hosts. My name is Jameson, and I am also known as that mill guy. With me today, as usual, is, you know, the man who loves Sluggle way too much, Baboons. And we have our special guest host today of Chaos. And this is a very special podcast for us because we have with us today to talk about all things Alestral's music, the man, the myth, the legend, Tailwinds. How y'all doing?
I am also a Sluggle diehard.
Well,
yeah, I think you're outvoted here. Sluggle is king, and I have someone to back me up.
Well, I do want to say though that, you know, Tails, you may be a Sluggle diehard, but Baboons is a Sluggle himself. So
don't fuggle with the Sluggle.
Baboons is ascending into a Sluggle.
I legit created the quote, "Don't fuggle with the Sluggle." I have mastered the Sluggle, and I will use its power to the fullest extent of my abilities.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, basically, to learn a little bit more about the behind-the-scenes stuff with the Lestrals, especially when it comes to where the music comes from, how it comes about, and whatnot, can you tell us a little bit, Tailwinds, about how you got involved with the Alestral Project and, you know, what your role is within the Alestral's community?
Absolutely. So it's a little bit of a story because originally, before I became the composer of Alestral's, I was actually the sound designer for a very well-known and highly, like, anticipated tournament series that was for Super Smash Brothers called the Panda Cup, which was the very first ever Nintendo-sponsored tournament series for Smash. And it was an amazing time to be a part of that. But unfortunately, in November, at the end of the month in 2022, tournament series Smash World Tour, it was a great event series as well. They were unfortunately forced to shut down because of circumstances due to on Nintendo's part, and it created a lot of backlash on Panda, and I lost my job as a result. Everybody did, and it was a very tough time, and for quite a few months I actually wasn't doing anything. And then I saw some videos on Alestral's and was like, wow, it seems like they don't have any music for the series so far. And they already, like, completed their Kickstarter and everything, yet they still don't have someone, it seems. So I reached out to Alex, was the first person I actually talked to. And then I reached out to Dan, and basically Dan tested me. He didn't immediately hire me on. He basically, like, gave me a test, and that test song was actually the Foloi Forest battle theme, and everything has been a dream come true since.
Nice. That is really awesome. That's a really cool origin story. I like that one. So, I mean,
that's actually awesome.
That's really good. And it sounds like you've been in the music business for a bit now. So how do you do the process of coming up with the various themes and whatnot? You know, do you just sample some music and say, oh, that sounds pretty cool, I want to expand upon that? Or what is the process associated with that?
So that's a really good question. And it's a combination of many things. With Foloi Forest, it was a lot of feel with it. Basically, what I usually do is I will ask for any artwork that's being used for that scenario or the environment, and I will try to come up with something in my head based on what I'm looking at. But I also do use other tracks as potential inspiration as well. It really depends on if those creative juices are really flowing. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not.
What was the hardest thing to get inspiration for? Like, either, like, a battle scene or, like, intros, or, like, what was something that was, like, really difficult to, like, get just right? Or something that you thought was good but could have been better?
This might come as a shocker, considering how much of a good track it is. But believe it or not, Atlantis was the hardest one out of all the tracks so far.
Really? Oh, I love Atlantis. That's actually crazy. Wow.
I can't really say exactly. So I can't really say everything about Atlantis, because there's more than just like one track for most of the music tracks. So there's like a calm version of all the battle tracks that we're not using yet, and we don't know exactly what we're going to use them for just yet. But the idea was basically I first had to make the calm version of Atlantis. And it was actually the next track. It was right after Full Life Forest. So with Atlantis, it was really difficult because it's like, how do you make a music track based on the lost city of Atlantis? Like the city that no one has found. Like that is a very difficult thing because it could be so many different things with it. And the calm music track was really where I had to create everything. And so what I did with it was I created a story with it where when you're listening to it, you can sort of feel like it's an adventure of some sort, but it's calm. So it's definitely one of those kind of tracks where I took a really different approach to it. I'm so glad I did. Unfortunately, obviously, we're not able to use it just yet, but when it does come out, it will genuinely be a really good track. People will love it. And the battle theme in particular was a lot easier to work on because it was based on the calm track. It was actually had some inspiration from a song created by a artist that I actually know a bit, thanks in part to the Panda Cup, known as Anamanaguchi. If for those who don't know, Anamanaguchi are actually the original composers for the Scott Pilgrim video games and the anime Scott Pilgrim Takes the World. So they're good friends. So their song Ekobo was the inspiration for Atlantis. The battle theme, at least. So if you go onto YouTube and listen to Ekobo, and then you listen to the Atlantis battle theme, you'll be like, oh, I can see it.
Wow.
That dude is so good. That's actually crazy.
That's really awesome. It sounds like you're coming from an emotional standpoint in a lot of cases with the music. Because it evokes some kind of emotion or some kind, you're trying to tell a story with it. And that's really awesome. I like that. Because the best music out there does exactly that. It evokes some kind of emotion or it generates some kind of, you know, imagination of what is going on around you. I actually used the water battle theme, or at least a snippet of it, on one of our outros of our videos, or our podcast, I should say. And it was really, you know, it was really kind of cool to try and figure out where part of that I really want to use, because I can't use the whole thing because obviously I only need a 30-second snippet, but it lends itself well to actually being able to be part and parceled as well, the way that the music flows. And is that something that you intentionally build into the music, or is that just something that flows when you actually are putting it all together?
Yeah, that's a really good question as well, because the thing I try to do the most with my music is make it like as concise as possible, but I also do my best to include so many different things that I can. And a lot of it, in terms of like the flow, a lot of it does have to do with the transitions. You may not think of it like initially when you're listening to music, but transitions are so important for the overall like feel, because without the transitions, like it'll sound like you're going from one section to another, like completely out of the blue. And for some reason, it'll just sound odd. But when you include
it'll feel like a hard break to a chain.
Yeah, exactly. And when you hear the transitions, so those are extremely important as well. But it's all about, for me at least, it's all about the feel. I want to put feeling into something. And one thing I will say, when it comes to like emotion and stuff, for the TCG app in particular, the feeling, the emotion of it isn't necessarily the thing I'm looking for with it. It's mostly like, I want this to be a song that people can just have memorized in their head. It's like, yeah, this is a good track while I'm playing against someone else. Because I don't want the emotion to take priority when you're playing against the game against someone. Now, different projects are going to have that emotion. Like, there's a project that I just finished working on for Illustrious that I cannot say, but the emotion with it is going to be something you will not want to miss.
So it's also like, to that transition analogy, is like a jump cut in a video or something like that, where it's like suddenly it goes from A to B, and it's like, whoa, yeah, it throws you off for a few seconds. So yeah, so that's what you really want to look for in that. Heos has been, you know, kind of quiet. I don't know. Did you have anything that you wanted to ask, Heos?
I was thinking of some questions, to be honest. That's why I've been silent the whole entire time.
Yeah, don't hesitate to ask. I'm more than happy to.
I was just intrigued with your stories. That's all. I was just kind of listening to them, and
I'm loving the story so far as well. And
that's why I was being quiet. You know, I was enjoying the stories, but I think the one question I probably would ask right now is, like, you're talking about feeling and stuff like that, and you know, I listen to a lot of NF, you know, who talks about feelings and emotions and all that, like just the day to day life type stuff. If you were to compare the music you make to a genre you may listen to, what would that be?
Oh, that's hard. My job as a video game music composer specifically isn't to necessarily put myself into one genre. Yes, I've done that in the past with like EDM, retro electronic music, stuff like that. But as a composer where there's multiple different types of projects and different styles are needed, I have to make sure that I'm not keeping myself in one genre, one style, so that way the right feeling can come out. So...
correct, yeah.
Like, what I can say is, yes, the bass tracks are... mostly electronic and stuff like that, but a little bit by bit I have been moving a little bit away from that, surprisingly enough, moving away from electronic to more acoustic type of stuff, to give more of that feel with the music as well. But like I said, the main thing is I can't put myself into one genre with this type of job. If I was like outside of Illustrious, it would be electronic music in general, but I just can't do that.
You've got to be more flexible in order to hit all of the different styles.
So next thing, what do you typically listen to while you're composing music for Illustrious? Like, what type do you listen to?
100% of the time, it's going to be whatever inspirational music I find.
Right.
I am always...
so it could be rock, rap, country, just anything, honestly. Like, if you hear like a...
honestly, I don't listen to the general right. music that, like, people outside of our spaces listen to. Which is funny, considering, like, it's all great in one way or another, but... for my personal taste and what I do, it's hard to, like, yeah, there's some normal songs that I'll listen to and I really, really like, but most of the time when I'm listening to music, if I'm listening to it for like an hour or so, most of the time it is because of either looking for inspiration or that is the inspiration I'm going to use. And that's really all there is to it. I do have personal favorite music that I like to listen to in general, but most of the time it's going to be for inspiration, because otherwise I'm going to be listening to my own music because I need to make sure that everything is correct the way I want it, at least.
Do you find yourself listening to more music that doesn't have like a vocal artist, like more like musical backgrounds instead of the actual like acoustic?
Sometimes. So most of the time, yes, it will be more video game,
like, music. Instrumental type music.
However
yeah
however I've for the longest of time, for years now, I've been trying to make vocal music tracks just outside of Alestrals. I've been trying to for like a couple years and just nothing would stick where it's like, okay, I really like the idea of this, but I just can't seem to make it, you know, have that spark. So that's sort of been a difficulty with that there, but I've been trying to incorporate vocals, like, even if it's, like, small and minute. A really good example is the Alestriad intro music. So every time you would watch an Alestriad Championships video, whether it's a match or whatnot, you would hear that 10-second music track. And at the very end, I put my vocals in there. And that's, like, the first Alestrials track to actually have any sort of vocals in there.
So how do you feel about music like that is orchestral, that has like maybe a choir associated with it, just makes sounds, not singing, but just makes it sounds like, you know, like, or something like that. Right. Is that something that you would consider putting yeah. into an Alestrals musical clip, or is that something that you just can't seem to make work? Because you were talking about trying to add vocals. And to me, that seems like that would be the next progression to that, is just to add a vocal element that is just evocative of what you're trying to say with the music. Is that something that you were considering? Is that as well?
I'm always considering it. So when it comes to what I do, I'm always considering things. I want to make sure when I'm working on a track, if, let's say, for example, the melody, I want it to sound a certain way. Like, it's like this with every single part of the music track. I will not use, like, just a regular snare drum. I want it to be this specific sounding snare drum sound, whether it's electronic or an acoustic snare drum. I want it to sound this way because it will sound as natural and just sound right. And the same goes with vocals. I'm always trying to fit something in there. Recently I have been able to put in, really more traditional instruments into stuff, outside of Alestral specifically, but and I'm really wanting to hopefully experiment with more traditional instruments, like instruments you probably never heard before. One great example, I found out about an instrument. It's a flute, from a third world country known as a duduk, and it is insanely beautiful sounding with certain types of music, and those types of things. It's like, okay, I'm gonna keep that in the back of my mind and make it work to the best of my ability.
So is the music more based on making it sound more nature orientated, or just a natural flow of the music so that it evokes that sense that you're in nature or that you're in the world that you're trying to get immersed into?
That's hard to say. It depends on the scenario. So for the music tracks for all the different places in Alestria, I want people to feel like they are there. That is the goal of any music composer, whether it be for a movie, for a video game, or any type of media. You want the person to feel like they are either there themselves, or you want them to feel a certain way. And so that is the number one goal behind it all, obviously.
Right. It's like watching a movie without a soundtrack is, it's literally deafening, because you're like, wait a minute, something's missing here. You can't pinpoint it, but it's like something's missing. That's what's so impactful in some medias, when they have orchestrations all the way up to a certain point, and then it goes dead silent, and then the orchestration picks back up, because they want to invoke that power of that thing, that silence in that moment, so that it hits harder for you, I guess. But I have seen cuts of movies that without the soundtrack and whatnot. And I agree, you know, that without the music in the background, it is so integral to the process because you don't know how to feel in a certain situation without, because we're so ingrained to hear it, right? We're so ingrained for it to be there. This is that thing is like it's missing, and it's you just, it takes you out of whatever it is that they're trying to put you into. This is what it sounds like. So like if the video game had, if the app had no music on it, it would be one of those things where it's like you're just, something's missing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be a little boring, per se. Not to say that the game is boring, but just playing the app, because there's no little, like, you know.
Yeah, there's no cues. There's no audio cues.
Yeah,
of what's going on. It's like the battle music keeps you pumped up and keeps you going, which is what I really like about it. You know, it's like you did a great job in evoking the theme songs that for each of the elements that the battle, you know, with the stadium elements that just keeps you going and keeps that energy up. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I want to kind of speak on that instrument you mentioned, Tailwinds, the Duduk. I'm very interested to see what you come up with that. I can confirm that instrument does sound very, it's intriguing. It's nice. I've heard sounds from them before. It's a woodwind, if you didn't know that, which...
No clue.
It is. No, it is. I know it is. That's why I was... When he said Duduk, I'm like...
No, I have no clue. I am not that musical. I could just pick up anything and be like, I got it, but...
Oh, yeah, because, well, yeah, you said Duduk, and I'm like, I know it. I was like, I've heard the instrument before. I was like, so I had to look it up just to make sure I was right, and I'm like, oh... I can't wait to see what you do with that, because they sound beautiful, like, especially with the way you do your stuff already. I think you're going to make some really good music with that.
It's a very distinctive sounding instrument, and it's very, definitely very interesting.
That was going to be what I was about to ask. Like, I've had it where, like, I won't even, like, hear the sound in, like, a video game, but, like, I'll hear a sound that I'll connect to the video game. Have you ever had it where you're in your head and you hear something that'd be, like, perfect for a scene? But for some reason, you're struggling to find that perfect piece that you heard in your head, like your own mind created it in a way, but you're trying to find that piece. Have you ever struggled with that? And what music track would that have been a part of?
Oh, that's all the time. That's like every single day of my life. It sucks having ADHD one? Because that literally happens all the time. I'll be thinking of a melody or just rhythm in general or something like that and just not remember it in like an hour or so. And I'm like, darn it, how could I do this to myself?
And then it bugs the living piss out of you that you can't remember what it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what you're saying, Tailwinds, is that you have a permanent earworm. And it changes tracks periodically. Yeah, you just like it drives you buggy. Yeah, I get that. So, you know, one of the things that all those conversations led me to believe that it makes me look at composers in a different way, because I'm a big fan of the Mandalorian show on Disney Plus, right? And the Goranson on that? I don't remember his first name, but he uses instruments from various different parts to evoke different sounds in the show. And it sounds to me that that's along the same lines of what you're doing as well, of just looking outside the box of what typical composing is for sound effects or music for various different scenes or various different situations. Is that an accurate assessment of what you're trying to say here?
Well, it's very interesting because I'm not always accurate, not really like actively looking all the time for stuff. Most of the time, it just happens. With the Duduk, I was looking at sample packs that I have in my repertoire, and one of them happened to be of the Duduk, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh my god, this is beautiful. I want to use this. And it'll create that inspiration for something. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not actively looking for it all the time, but... The thing about life in general is that you never know when something inspiring is going to strike you. For everyone in general, it's like you may, the smallest little thing in life might turn out to be a big thing. And that's the case here, where it doesn't mean much. It's just a little sample, you know? But I heard it and was like, I want to use this for Elestrals, period. And so I actively searched for it afterwards. And it just happens. It's like a happy circumstance.
Right. Okay. Well, because as a fellow creator, in a different medium, obviously, but I find that that's actually an accurate statement. You know, as a creator, you know, we get inspired by some of the weirdest stuff out there, you know, because I write, I'm a freelance writer for, you know, tabletop game designs and stuff. And some of the conversations or just seeing what others have done and getting inspiration from what they've done and stuff like that is so, so helpful. You know, just being around other creators. And I mean, I love the music that you do because it's very inspiring to me to make me want to do more with what I'm doing, you know. So, you
know. That means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. I think you did an excellent job with that. And also, it evokes a lot of the stuff with Elestrals, yeah, too, because all of us are so ingrained in Elestrals now. I mean, we go onto the Discord and everybody knows who we are, you know. It's like, you know, you know, all the regular people are just like, you know, even the new people are suddenly just realize who we are and almost immediately when we step into a voice chat or something. So, you know, it's like, but the all of that is that to get to this point of saying that we really love Elestrals and we love everything about it. And I think a huge part of that goes to all the hard work that everyone puts into it. You know, all the playtesters, all the staff members, all the community members and everything that are there to welcome new players and whatnot. And I think you guys are doing a fantastic job with it. And I cannot wait to see what the future brings.
Honestly, I was going to say something. I completely agree with Jameson, but also what I'm excited for is you've gotten so many different good. There, you've
yes, I have many goods and services. You may buy my wares.
You've got many goods in the goods and minis, but what I'm excited for is that there are, in every genre, like there's, or not genre, but every like video game or movie, there's something that hooks you to it. And the biggest thing that connects me to it is either Jaws or Pirates of the Caribbean. When I say those two, you immediately know what music I'm talking about when it comes to those.
You know, some of the other ones are like, you know, Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or, you know, any of those genres that these are big movies that everybody knows about. So if you just say Darth Vader theme, you know immediately what I'm talking about.
Right.
Lightsaber sound effect.
Yeah.
Like,
so
that is so, like, ingrained into how we see the show. And, like, I'm so excited to see how that develops in Elestrals. And you've already made some amazing things. I'm curious, will you, like, because I know that you're more of the music side. Will there, like, for sound effects for Elestrals themselves? Because I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I've heard Spinosect, like, wings flap in one of the shorts they had, but I'm not 100% sure. But will there be sound effects, or do you hope that you're able to get that far to Elestrals that you will also be connected with that, or is there someone else that does that for you?
That's a really funny question, because you can already find that answer. Mm-hmm. In the opening movie of the Elestrals TCG app, where Trifernal and Pantera are fighting with each other, I made all the sound effects for those.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome too, by the way.
So that is a thing we are doing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm excited for that.
If we get the video video lore stuff, that's gonna probably have a lot of sound effects in it with the creatures and whatnot. So I think that's really amazing that we're going in that direction.
I mean, unfortunately, that's just something I'm not able to discuss about, sadly. Right. What I can say is that I am heavily, heavily involved with the project. And I am extremely happy with the result so far. I can't really say much about it, obviously, because that is something that we can't really like say anything much about, but I'm really excited to bring the lore of Elestrals to people. And everyone on the staff is as well.
I'm looking forward to that day. I'm super excited about the lore because I'm in the process of doing the baseline mechanics for an RPG for Elestrals. That once I have it, have the outline and the base game pretty much laid out, then all it would need would be the lore to expand on it and maybe make some thing, some changes to the game right based upon what the lore is. But I'm looking forward to presenting that to Dan as an option
RPG
later on down the
road.
So I'm super looking forward to the lore for that aspect, but also just to learn more about the world of Elestria. So that is pretty awesome to know that it's good.
What I can say is this: Elestria is a wide, vast, and open world with so many people, so many Elestrals, so many different spirits. The lore is gonna bring that to everyone, and we are all so excited to be able to bring that forth to everyone.
And I'm so
there's not much else I can really say. It's really exciting.
It's one of the things we've been very, very excited about. We're probably the most. Well, everybody here is super excited about that. I think that when we heard that the lore was coming later this year, we were all super excited about that, and that we're just really anticipating that almost as much as we were anticipating Shattered Stars. So, I mean, there's that. And it's great to know that that you guys are taking the time and the due diligence to make sure that it's good, it's accurate, and people will enjoy the content. So that's really good to know. Because I know Dan's been very transparent about a lot of things. And he says it's coming and whatnot, but he's not, you know, he's keeping under his under wraps as well himself. But you know, and I'm looking forward to, you know, presenting what I have, you know, for a role-playing game that is a tabletop role-playing game that you can play with your family. Because I want to write it in such a way that you can do it with the whole family. You know, if you got kids, you know, like maybe 8 and up or whatever, that want to get involved in it and you want to have something to do with your kids, that's the goal that I'm doing with this. Because as a, like I said, a freelance game designer, it's what I do. So I'm really looking forward to the challenges of that. But that being said, I really want to move on to the next thing. Because you started a new YouTube channel recently, Tailwinds, and I'm pretty excited about it. I've really been enjoying the content you've been putting out so far. Can you tell us a little bit more about what brought that on and what your end goal is for that channel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Baboon, you wanted to ask something else, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I've talked with you before. Me and you have even played a few matches against each other, water against water. I was gonna go another rotation, which is I've played with you and I've talked with you before, but I don't think I've ever heard the story of how you became a water lover. And that was the rotation I was going to get into before the YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we can swing back around to that. That's fine. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll be honest. Frost is my favorite element type in general. I've always been really good at making winter themed music. I've really loved the winter season in general. It's just always a beautiful time of the year for me. And water has also always been a favorite element of mine, especially with Pokemon. We didn't have really Frost in the beginning, so I really latched onto water, specifically Magicy and Sloggle, just being two adorable Elestrals. And that's really about it. It's just like I love water from Pokemon, like the typing, and once Frostfall comes out, there's gonna be of course some new Elestrals revealed, obviously with Frostfall, because we're bringing forth the frost element, Mountains of Boreas as well. It's really exciting to finally like really like pull off that cape and be like, I'm going Frost all the way. Obviously, I'm not leaving water behind, but I'm definitely really excited about the other elements as well. Because I don't have a least favorite element, honestly. But my absolute favorite right now is definitely Frost.
There's nothing that says you can't mix water cards with the Frost cards, too. I mean, you know.
Of course.
I mean that. But that's the whole world of Alestrals. It is designed to not solo with a single spirit type. You're supposed to mix two or three combos. And I am excited to see what comes about for that. Now, I know you said you want to make Majesty a reality.
Like you want to make that down. I have been quite vocal about it.
And I support you. I 100% support you. You played against me. Like, I loved it. Like,
I have a very good Majesty deck that works out very well. So, Jameson's played against it multiple times.
Dude, I do the same. Like, me and him have had great discussions in the water world. And, like, I'm excited.
Well, I'm a fire player. Of course I hate it.
Jameson just doesn't like getting wet. Yeah.
I think he hates our water jets in general.
No. Oh, I hate you, Bevins. He just
doesn't like getting a little wet.
You just hate me? Okay, that's fair.
Your deck is annoying. No, I don't, actually. It's true.
I just don't like taking damage, okay? I'm the healer, okay? I'm the healer. I play tank and I play healer. Those are my roles in most video games.
Well, honestly, I don't like getting wet. That is a true statement.
Well, maybe you just need to.
I like it even less when I'm playing.
Maybe your fire isn't hot enough to dry out water.
You know, problem. You're shutting down what I'm trying to do here. It's like, so stop doing that.
Yeah.
Just let me kill you and just suck it up.
Flexibility, though. You talked about flow. You talked about flow before. I'm telling you, water is flexible. We roll with the punches. We got it.
Well, you haven't seen my latest.
This fire is just not burning.
So I think you'll really enjoy it.
Well, I'm excited to win against it.
Sure.
Back to the YouTube channel that Tailwinds is under development.
Yes. Yeah, that's something, huh?
nervous laughter. Are you just going with the flow, or
that's just a
what's
thing.
The plan with that?
So it's just a thing. Alestral Central. It's now a thing. It's something that's been on the back of my mind here and there. Honestly, I am outside of Alestrals, outside of music composing. I actually am a professional commentator for fighting games. So. I used to commentate games like Rivals of Aether, a little bit of Super Smash Brothers, and I actually became really extremely well known in the game Multiverses as like a top level commentator for the series. I've gotten to work with the developers Player First Games and even hosting tournaments and everything with them. And as a result, I am well endowed with the competitive scenes of different fandoms and whatnot. And Alestrals is no different. I am, as someone who is a commentator and looking at the space right now, the only channels that are really taking like the competitive scene, like I feel like seriously, is Alestronauts and the main Alestrals YouTube channel. But the interesting thing is the main Alestrals YouTube channel is mainly for marketing. So if you take that out of the equation, you have just the Alestronauts, and their videos are more on the entertaining side of things, absolutely. But they're not really talking about the actual events that take place. And really, nobody is. And that's a problem to me, because as a commentator, having that story of the competitive players is essential for any competitive scene to thrive. Take example, Super Smash Bros. Melee. Without the legacy that Melee has, Melee wouldn't be where it still is. And that is also the case for Alestrals. And so with Alestral Central, I want that channel to be the one place you go to for knowing what happened at this tournament, what decks were people playing at these tournaments. Because, yeah, you can see a picture of this many people played this deck, this many people played this deck, this many of this card was being played, etc. But you're not seeing the full picture of somebody using this deck. How did they use it? You know, like, how did they use it in this game? How did they do what they did to get to victory? And what's the story behind it? Like, are these players, like, a great example? And this might be something that I make a video about, thinking about it right now. I'm legitimately, like, bringing up a notepad right now, and I'm like, I'm going to actually write this down, because this is a great video idea.
The power of ADHD.
Is, like, a great example of an amazing potential video is the rivalry between Jay Johnny and Distant Coder. Like, already, for how young Alestrals is, we are already beginning to have these stories that are starting to unfold. And I genuinely mean this. Nobody at all has looked into it and really given that to people. Like, people can, like, for example, with the rivalry between Distant Coder and Jay Johnny, like, really, all we have to go around with that as of right now is just whenever Jay Johnny brings it up. But nobody is really documenting it as an actual story. There are so many things in the competitive scene of Alestrals, even though it's just started, that already somebody could have been doing all this and nobody has. And so I felt like if nobody's going to do it, then I'm going to do it. Because as a commentator, I'm supposed to make things become a story. And the same goes with music. I want to create a story with the music as well. And so I feel like this is, Alestral Central is the one opportunity to be able to bring the competitive level of Alestrals to a new height, hopefully. I know that was long, so I hope you're still here.
No, that was great. I loved listening to it. And I was going to say,
so basically, when I actually do Top Cut or win a tournament, you're going to tell my underdog story, because I've been going at it since day one.
I don't have with that various different decks. Back knowledge,
and the only one that
I'm
I've actually top decked with was with,
like,
the very first one we had the starter deck.
What I remember happening
was the starter deck exclusive
on
the app.
Absolutely. I would be more
and
than happy
I
to
placed
do it.
I took fourth place in that tournament. Oh, I'm more likely want you to talk about it when I actually do win one with a constructed deck, because I'm so close right now.
Wait, right. I wanted this to be my hero story. Allow me to win first.
When the time comes,
except me,
it's all about that story.
Right,
and
yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm interested in all of the players. I'm always looking at, a great example is this past tournament, the February 24th one. A player who played in their very first ever tournament, which was this past one, and secured top 8, Matt. I shouted him out in the video and I told him, congratulations for making top 8. I want people to be able to be accepted no matter at what level. The main thing when it comes to Alestral Central is, and this is an interesting take that I got from, it was a comment from Wurtz when I made my second video, which was a deck profile using the cards that I pulled from my Shattered Stars booster packs, is, he basically said, or you could just play Thunder Nexus. And it's like, yes, you can. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to make a deck using the cards, the main cards that I got from my Shattered Stars booster packs, so that anyone who is just coming into the game for the very first time ever gets 3 booster packs of Shattered Stars and maybe just 1 booster box, opens all these cards up, and they're able to make a decent enough deck to get them going. And that's what I didn't wanted to do with that deck profile video. It wasn't because, like, let's be real. Everyone and their mom has a Thunder Nexus deck. It's easy to make Thunder Nexus. The biggest problem with Alessials right now is the fact that we are just now getting first edition.
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, that is something that unfortunately was just out of our control. The previous courier, the previous manufacturing company that made the cards originally, they just did not make them to a standard that we wanted. And right. We want to do what's best for the community. So unfortunately, right now, the competitive scene sadly has taken a bit of a hit because of this unfortunate circumstance. Yeah. However, the thing I want to emphasize with it is this isn't gonna be forever. Like, this year, we're going to be releasing, finally, first editions coming this month. And this month into next month. We've also got Frostfall coming out, not too significantly long after. I'm not sure when, but it's not going to be insanely long after. Not only that, but the third set. I think the name was revealed for it,
yeah,
right?
Daybreak has been revealed.
Daybreak, yeah, Daybreak is also coming out. And then set four is going to be coming out as well in this year, as long as everything works. And as of right now, yeah, we've been really going at it when it comes to all of this. Like, we believe that this year we're going to get set four in your hands, hopefully.
I am so excited.
Before Worlds.
I can't guarantee it because it's not my position to say it, but I firmly believe it as a fan of Alestrals that we'll be getting set four in your hands, for sure. But there can always be an unforeseen circumstance that might happen. So we just have to be prepared for that as a beginning TCG.
And the overall plan is for set four to be released at minimum 30 days before the Worlds, if not longer.
That I cannot say. That's just information that I'm not allowed to discuss. But
according to the timeline that A-Drive released out there in January, the goal is to have it out in time so that players can play with it before the World Championships. And then at Worlds, it'll be all eight elements, all bets are off. Play everything that you can play. Play the decks you want to play with whatever elements you want to play. And have at it, and let's see what we do. If it doesn't happen that way, and we only get Daybreak, we get up to Daybreak for that, that's fine too. I think that we're going to be doing great in that regards. I mean, just to let alone to have four sets out in 1 year.
Absolutely, and I'm excited.
Instead of five, it's still better than nothing at
and
all.
Honestly, four sets a year is pretty much the normal when it comes to some TCGs. Pokemon Trading Card Game. Four sets a year. That's the only one that I'm really attached to, but like there's other trading card games that have like 3 month ranges as well. But like I said, we can't necessarily guarantee it because anything can happen.
Because of issues.
But
yeah.
And we're not at the level yet where we can keep it like absolutely 100% consistent. We're at a really good level right now, but as always, there's always that one little bit. It's that we are a new TCG. Anything could happen. And until everything is absolutely streamlined and it's consistent enough to where I don't have to say that. Like, I love Alestrals with all my might. But at the same time, there is some realistic to expectations where it's like, there could be something that could happen maybe, but you never know.
Right.
Obviously, I'm optimistic as all heck. Like, every single day of my life, I am on the Alestrals main Discord server. I'm always thinking about Alestrals every single day.
Absolutely.
So, obviously, I would love to see Set 4 come out. But if it doesn't, it doesn't, and that's okay.
Oh, you got to remember, this is a newer game, too.
Well, see, the one thing that you brought up, what, the Pokemon releases, right? And Pokemon releases four sets a year, right?
Yeah.
But in between time, they also release things like tins and other special things, because the size of that company, they can do all of that stuff. We don't have the resources for that yet, but you still always are getting something where you know, with the app and everything, we're always getting something. And with Shattered Stars being a monthly subscription service, we're always getting something every month. So if there's months where we don't get a set, we're still getting Shattered Stars. So there's that, too.
I'm still getting something to open, which is what I kind of like. I like to be able to open stuff.
I'm going to just go ahead and wrap it up. I think that this has been a real fun. I think we're definitely thankful for everything, Lestrals. I thank Tailwinds for taking this time out of his day to speak with us today. I hope the future of Lestrals remains bright and that we're all going to be here till we can't be anymore. But thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
See you guys. Until next time.
Have a blessed day and thank you for joining us.
Peace.